I see some friends that we have had from other places, and we are glad that you are here to join us for this Bible study hour. I want to mention a phrase to you and see if you have ever heard this. Have you ever heard someone make the statement, if the church doesn't change, it will die? You ever heard that before? It has become a common statement in recent years, particularly with those who are attacking the Lord's church and trying to say, we can't survive in this modern day if we don't change. We've got to make changes or we will die. In fact, for probably the last 20 years, change has kind of become a buzzword in the Lord's church. In the early 90s, there was a group of people who referred to themselves as change agents. And change agents were people who made it their goal to change the church. And they would say, if the church doesn't change, it will die. Now, because of that, the word change became almost a byword, almost a bad word with conservative brethren, because when they heard the word change, that was almost synonymous with liberalism. And it got to the point with some people that anything that was new, they were opposed to it because it was change. I remember when PowerPoint first started becoming a thing, that I was preaching. You remember before PowerPoint, we had the overhead projectors, and we would write on a piece of wax paper, and it would project it up on the screen. And then PowerPoint started coming along. And I was doing a gospel meeting in the Nashville, Tennessee area. And I remember calling ahead and asking if they had a PowerPoint projector. Everybody's got it now, but back then, you never knew. It was hit and miss. And so I called, and I talked to one of the elders, and I said, Brother so-and-so, do y'all have a PowerPoint? And I'll never forget what he said to me. He said, Brother Blackwell, we don't do that liberal stuff around here. Well, there's nothing liberal about PowerPoint. What was the problem? What was he concerned about? It was something that was new. It was different to him. I remember several years ago when I was at the North Charleston congregation and we started to get the overhead hymnal. There were some brethren that objected and they said, well, that would be liberal. Well, what's liberal? Whether you look at it here, whether you look at it there, it makes no difference. The thing is, it was new. And so I want us to consider the question today, if the church doesn't change, it will die. Is that a true statement? This is what I want to tell you this afternoon. I want you to listen carefully to what I'm going to say. If the church doesn't change, it will die. The answer to that is yes and no. It's true, and it's also false. And so we want to talk about this and break it down for the next several minutes this afternoon. I'm going to give you 3 points today, and then we're going to elaborate on each one. First, I'm going to talk about some things that cannot change. Secondly, I'm going to talk about some things that must change. And then finally, we're going to talk about some things that can change. Now, what I'm going to do, first we're going to talk about things that cannot change. And I'm going to begin by giving you a general statement, and then we're going to make a more specific statement. Now, listen carefully to what I'm going to say. The general statement is this, things that cannot change, brethren, listen, we cannot change anything that is doctrinal. When we talk about change, the Word of God doesn't change. John 12:48, Jesus said, He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. That is, the Lord was saying on the day of judgment, the word that we have is going to be the same one that for 2,000 years has not changed. We better not change it. Matthew 24:35, Jesus said, Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. That is, the gospel of Christ is not going to change. And the Lord is so very serious about this. In Galatians 1:8, He said, But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which you have received, let him be accursed. That is, He said, it is not going to change. It's going to be the same one you're going to be judged by, and you better not change it. Though we or an angel from heaven preach something different, you better not change it. That's the general statement. We can't change anything doctrinal. Now, let me get more specific. What do we mean by that? I'm going to give you some specific examples of doctrinal things we can't change. Number one, we cannot change the one church. I preached in North and South Carolina for about 12 years. And I guess during all of the years that I was in the Carolinas, there was a man right up the road from us in Charlotte, North Carolina. His name was Jeff Wally. Jeff preached for the Providence Road Church of Christ. Jeff now is at Pepperdine University. And Jeff was one who considered himself a change agent. He was and is a self-proclaimed change agent. That is, he was a leader and an activist in seeking to change the church. He was one of these people who would say, if the church doesn't change, it's going to die. Now, I want to read you some quotes that Jeff made in relation to changing the church because I had a lot of dealing with him. The problem with Jeff was he was trying to change the wrong things. Now, the point I'm making right now is this. We can't change the concept of the one church. On one occasion, I went to talk to Jeff Walling, and I expressed to him how troubled I was by the fact that he was trying to change the church. And this is what he said to me. He said, well, sir, let me tell you something. He said, if changing the color of the carpet will bring one soul to the Lord, then I'm in favor of it. But you see, changing the color of the carpet was not the problem. And he knew that wasn't the problem. Many people who are trying to change the church are saying that we need to be more inclusive. They are saying that we need to include denominational people as brethren. We need to openly embrace them. We need to fellowship all of the different denominations. Now, I want to read you a quote from Jeff Walling himself. Jeff Walling said, and this is a quote, I really want you to get used to being with a lot of Christians. Because in spite of what some of my brothers think, I think there's going to be a ton of folks that God is going to give grace and mercy to. I don't think it's going to be a small crowd. In speaking about Jesus' prayer in John 17, when Jesus prayed that all of his followers would be one, this is what Jeff Walling said. He said, there are two odd things about the Lord's request. That they all may be one. Would you say it with me? That they all may be one. The problem is when we say the word we. What if we were at a gathering where the people sitting next to us didn't go to a church of Christ? Now, they believe in Jesus. They love the Lord. But they are not fellowshipping in a building that says Church of Christ on it. Just free up your mind for that bizarre possibility. Do you see what he's saying? He is saying we need to be more inclusive. He's saying if we don't change the church and start accepting people in the religious world, we're going to die. What I'm saying is we don't have a right to change the concept of the one church. And the reason we don't have the right to change it is it's not our church. It is the Lord's church. What if you had a guest staying in your house and you went to work and you came home and that guest had a sledgehammer and he was tearing down a wall in your house and you came in and said, what are you doing, man? And he said, well, I'm making it better. You know, this is an old and an outdated house. I'm improving it for you. What would you say to him? You would say, you don't have the right to do that. This is my house. Brethren, do you understand that? This, when we talk about the church, it is not ours to change. It belongs to the Lord. Matthew 16:18, Jesus promised, upon this rock I will build my church. Notice number one, that it's his church. Notice number two, that it is singular in nature. In Ephesians 1, 22 and 23, we read that the church of Christ is the body of Christ. And then in Ephesians 4, 4, we read that there's one body. Now, if the body is the church and there's one body, then there is only one church. And Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 10 says that all the members of that body should be speaking the same thing and be perfectly joined together. We don't have the right to change the concept of the one church. Number two. We don't have the right to change the gospel plan of salvation. Now, oftentimes, in fact, at the end of nearly every sermon I've preached for the last 25 years, I always teach that you've got to hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. That's a summary of the gospel plan of salvation. Listen to what Jeff Walling said. Jeff Walling said, quote, Jesus doesn't say that the obedient might be one, that the Church of Christers might be one. He prays for all those who will believe in Him. I tell you what, in order to preach the text, we can't get into this lesson without appreciating the fact that Jesus asked that we would throw a calf rope around all of those who simply believe in Him. You see what He's saying? He's saying it's not the gospel plan of salvation. He said we have to accept everybody who just believes. Now, this is a man who professes himself to be a gospel preacher in the Lord's church. He said, all we've got to do is believe. The point I'm making is we don't have a right to change the gospel plan of salvation. The problem we have with this is Galatians chapter 3 and verse 27 says that baptism puts a man into Christ. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 10 says that salvation is in Christ. The way that we get into Christ is through baptism. 2 Peter 3:21 says, baptism doth now also save us. But Jeff Walling is saying, we don't have to do that. You see, we don't have the right to change that. Number three, we don't have the right to change the organization of the church. The Lord said that the church is to be organized with elders who lead, deacons who serve, preachers who preach. The qualifications of elders are laid out in 1 Timothy chapter 3. We don't have the right to change those qualifications. Though I'm afraid sometimes even in sound churches we get lax on these things. Sometimes we'll think, well, we really need elders and this guy's really close and we get lax. We don't have the right to change those qualifications. If a man's not qualified, he's not qualified. We don't have a right to add to those qualifications. Sometimes we will make up qualifications and we will say, well, you know, he's not a very good businessman, so he doesn't need to serve. That's not one of the qualifications. We can't add to the qualifications. We can't take away from the qualifications. There must always be at least two elders. We cannot practice evangelistic oversight. That is, the preacher runs the show. I know of a church right now in Memphis, Tennessee, in our area, where they practice evangelistic oversight. The preacher runs the congregation. That is not scriptural. We don't have a right to change that. Number four, we don't have a right to change the worship of the church. John 4:24, God is a spirit. They that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. We cannot change it. The worship that God asked for includes five acts: singing, preaching, prayer, giving, and the Lord's Supper. We must partake of the Lord's Supper every first day of the week, according to Acts 20 and verse 7. We cannot change that. There has been a tremendous push in recent years to change the music of the Lord's church. God has asked for a cappella, that is, singing and singing only. Listen to what Jeff Walling said. Jeff Walling said, my commitment is to God's Word and to doing things as effectively and biblically as possible. For that reason, I don't go around the country preaching against instrumental music. I go around the country preaching for praise and singing, preaching and teaching, because some things are not very important. You see what he's saying? I don't preach against instrumental music. That's not important. He said, we need to change the church. And this old idea that you can't have instrumental music, we're going to die if we don't do that. Jeff Walling loves praise teams. That is a group of people, basically, that will function as a quartet that will sing, entertain. We don't have the right to change what God has asked for. He's asked for singing and singing only. You know, some congregations now have gotten to the point they have two worship services. That is, they will have one, a traditional worship service, where they have a cappella singing, and then they'll have a second worship service. They call that the contemporary service. And in that one, they will have instruments and praise teams. Where Jeff Walling preached, they had the guitar and nearly a full band. And that would be, you've got one for the old stodgy people, and then one for the more contemporary people. But brethren, listen to me. When people bring in the instrument and these things, what they're doing is seeking to please men rather than please God. Because God has said, give me this, and we're saying, no, we would rather have this. We would rather do something else. We don't have a right to have female preachers. I am seeing this more, society is saturated with this, but I'm seeing more and more of this in those that proclaim to be churches of Christ. It's a direct violation of 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 12. I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. I want to read you this article. This is from May the 9th of 2018. It's entitled, Most Church of Christ Colleges No Longer Exclude Women from Leading in Worship Services, a list of schools and their approach to chapel. It says 7 of the 12 national and regional colleges that are linked to Churches of Christ no longer exclude women from actively serving in the chapel worship services when there are both men and women present. 4 of them, Abilene Christian, Lipscomb University, Pepperdine University, and Rochester College, do not exclude women from any role in the chapel worship service. Women preach, they read Scripture, they lead prayer, and otherwise actively serve in chapel when men and women are present. three other schools, Lubbock Christian, Oklahoma Christian, and York College, no longer generally exclude women from actively serving in the mixed chapel, but some exclusivity remains, at least in practice. Women serve as the featured speaker and also actively serve in other roles for these three schools. These seven are joined by a growing number of Churches of Christ congregations that have lifted all or most of the restriction on women serving in the worship service. I'll give you the link if you want to read the article. Brethren, what's the point? He said they have lifted the restriction. The point I'm making is they don't have the right to lift the restriction. You see, God made the restriction. How dare we come along and say, I'm going to lift a restriction that God made? We don't have a right to change reverence in worship. We are being told in our modern society that we need to dress down. We're being told that more casual is more pleasing to people. And I suppose it is more pleasing to people, but it's not about people. It's not about pleasing people. It's about pleasing God. We don't have a right to change morality. Now listen to what I'm about to say, because this is not popular in many places. When it comes to modesty, brethren, even many sound churches have gone down this road. Many congregations of the Lord's church don't preach on modesty. If they do, they're very apologetic about it, or they're so generic people don't get it. Some churches have so redefined modesty that it's hard to tell the difference in a Christian and the world. I know of one church that for 40 years they taught solidly on modesty. They got a new preacher in and he stopped, and within just a few years the congregation's going down the road the wrong way. I know of a congregation where one of the members told me that their preacher and his wife, their position was, it's okay to go to the beach where people are laying out nearly naked as long as your heart is right. I asked the question, could you go to the beach where they're completely naked if your heart is right? And if not, what's the difference? You see the problem with that line of reasoning? But you see, we have changed in this area. It wasn't long ago when the Lord's people were known as people who didn't go mixed swimming, who had a prom alternative. They did not support the prom, but we have rapidly changed. That's the word we're talking about. We've rapidly changed in some of these areas. But you know, the Bible hasn't changed. Jesus still says in Matthew 5:28, if a man looks on a woman with lust after her, he's committed adultery in his heart. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 9 still says that a woman's to adorn herself in modest apparel. The Bible hasn't changed. The people have changed. That's the problem. Next, we don't have a right to change with regard to drinking. When I was growing up in the Lord's church, I cannot recall ever hearing members of the Lord's church defend drinking alcohol. Now, I'm sure there were some out there, but nowadays, it's extremely common. It's coming out of our Christian colleges. And frequently people say, well, you can drink a little bit. The Bible only condemns drunkenness. But you know, Ephesians 5:18 still says, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. The phrase, be not drunk with wine, in the Greek is methusko. It is an inceptive verb, which literally means, do not begin the process of getting drunk with wine. I'm telling you, you begin the process of getting drunk with wine when you take the first drink. You violate this passage. See, we used to preach that. Some churches don't. We don't have a right to change with regard to homosexuality. Now, we talked about that this morning, and so I'm not going to spend a lot of time there. But I mentioned to you that amongst millennials, 74% support homosexuality and gay marriage. In fact, America as a whole, as of 2017, 62% of Americans supported gay marriage and homosexuality. Brethren, I'm telling you, you give it another 20 or 30 years, and we are going to be fighting this in churches of Christ. Because I'm telling you, when you get to a generation where 74% support it, what's going to happen when they're the age to be elders in the church? I'm telling you, we've got to teach, we've got to preach about this. It is something that is going to be not only in society, but it's coming into the church. Next, we don't have a right to change what the Bible says with regard to our entertainment. Now, let me give you an example of this. The devil has done a number on us in some of these areas. We've gotten to the point that we change what we watch on TV. We've changed in the wrong directions. I want to illustrate how this works. Several years ago, my family started watching a program on TV. It was called House. It was about a doctor. His name was Dr. House. And he was a lead doctor, and he had a team of doctors, and they would solve mystery cases. And I came in one day, and this program's on TV, and they were solving a mystery case, and it was interesting. So I started watching it. Next thing you know, I'm fascinated by the show. Well, we keep watching it, and I found out very quickly Dr. House is a drug addict, and then he's excessively crude, and almost everybody on the show was sleeping around, and one of the key characters is a bisexual, and Dr. House is an atheist, and he loves to mock God, and I would just cringe every time he would say it, but I just kept watching it because I was fascinated. I'd gotten hooked, and I was just stomaching the rest. See how the devil works? See how he does that to us? And one day, I ask, what are we doing? Why are we watching this? And we turned it off and made the rule that we don't watch this in our house anymore. Brethren, there are some things that we cannot change. We can't change doctrine. We can't change morality because God has already set those things in stone. Here's point number two. Let's talk about some things that must change. Some things can't change. Some things must change. Number one, we have got to change our methods. Now, what do I mean by that? I am the director of the Gospel Broadcasting Network. We are an organization that has as our entire goal using every means of modern technology to reach people with the gospel. Now, what's my point? My point is technology is not bad. Change in that area is not bad. In fact, my point is that it's essential. Brethren, I believe that God has providentially allowed us to develop this incredible technology that we have in the modern world so that we can reach people with the gospel. On the day of judgment, if the Lord says to us, why didn't you take the gospel to the entire world? We might be tempted to say, well, Lord, there were 8 billion people. How could we possibly reach 8 billion people? We couldn't reach all those people. To which he may respond, why didn't you use the technology that I gave you? Why didn't you use the internet? Why didn't you use satellites and smartphones and Facebook and all of these different things, Instagram? We are converting several people every single month at GBN with modern technology, videos and YouTube and Instagram. Brethren, I do not believe that God has allowed us the modern technology that we have just so that we can binge watch Netflix. I think that He has given it to us so that we can use it for good. I grew up in Charleston, South Carolina, at the North Charleston Church of Christ. And then I moved away. I joined the military. And in 2006, I moved back to be their full-time preacher. We had in our library there the Jule Miller film strips. Do y'all remember those? I'm not talking about the VHS tapes. I'm talking about the old film strips. We still had those in our library. And we had some of the little mini projectors. Do you remember those? The little mini projectors that you would play these film strips in. And I remember we were talking about getting rid of some of those. And one of the older ladies said, no, we can't get rid of those. We might need those. Brethren, we're not going to need those anymore. You have to come along with technology. I remember we had a map of Moses' journeys in the wilderness. It was an old, old map. In fact, I'm pretty sure it was the map that Moses actually used when he was in the wilderness wandering around. It was, I'm kidding about that, but it was an old, old map. In truth, it was the map, not one like it. It was the map we used in the 1970s when I was a kid growing up there. Brethren, I'm saying we need to avail ourselves of modern methods. Churches these days need a website. Churches these days need a Facebook page. It is unlikely in this modern era that you're going to be found through the Yellow Pages. We need a way to record our sermons. We need a way to distribute them, digitally speaking. We need to have PowerPoint. And we need to regularly stop and reevaluate our methods. You know, it may be the days of door knocking and tent meetings just don't work anymore. You know, I said that one time, and somebody came to me and said, well, I tell you what, door knocking works in our area, then you ought to do it. What I'm saying is reevaluate and see what works instead of just being stuck in doing the same old things. Number one, we need to change our methods. Number two, we need to change our facilities. Now, what do I mean by that? Have you ever gone into a building and it smelled old and musty and you walked over to the tract rack and you pulled out a tract and it had a tract about Woodstock and the hippie movement on it and Now, I say I'm exaggerating, but just a little bit, because I went in a building not that long ago and pulled out a tract about Woodstock and the hippie movement. And that's been 40 or 50 years ago that that happened. Now, I know somebody's going to say, well, Don, it's not about the building. People shouldn't be coming because of the building. And that is true. But the point that I'm making is an old, musty building is going to deter people. And our goal is not to deter people. Our goal is to be effective. And we also have to keep in mind that the people that we're reaching out to are people in the world. They don't know any better. And so we've got to reach out and be effective and teach these people. Maybe the building shouldn't be a factor, but I don't want to do things that are going to turn people away from the gospel. Now, we got to be good stewards. I understand that, but I think you get the point I'm making. Number three, we must change how we communicate. We must change our outreach. It is certainly the case, I have observed in the Lord's church, that old habits die hard. One of the things that I have found in most places, if you ask them why they do something a certain way, you know what they will say? Because that's the way we've always done it. Brethren, we need to constantly reevaluate ourselves and ask, is this still the best way? Somebody says, well, it wasn't in 1977. Well, it might be now. We need to constantly reevaluate things. We need to ask ourselves, is it still best to mail the bulletin or should we start emailing the bulletin? Should we stop having a call-in sick list and maybe move to a text message system or a Facebook system or email or something like that? And I tell you something we're going to have to reevaluate very soon, and that is giving. You know, paper money is rapidly becoming a thing of the past. Checks are rapidly becoming a thing of the past. How are we going to deal with that? You know, we've talked about the fact at GBN that if we don't figure out a way to take money digitally, we're going to start missing out on support. I've got two daughters that are grown and married, and one of my daughters said to me, she said, Dad, the only reason we have checks is so that we can give in the contribution on the Lord's Day. She said, otherwise, our generation doesn't use checks. Is the day going to come when we've got to pass around a card swipe and we swipe our card to give on Sunday mornings? Or the day is going to come when everybody gets out their cell phone and does their contribution? I don't know. I said something like this in a sermon one time, and the preacher afterwards kind of jumped my case, and he said, you made me mad when you said that about giving like that. And I said, why? And he said, well, because that's, I never heard of that before. I said, that's my point, brother. I'm trying to say just because something is new. In fact, I have heard that when checks were first introduced in this country, that there were some in the Lord's church that were opposed to it because it was new. And their argument was, you're not actually giving because a check's kind of like an IOU. That was the argument that they were making with that. Well, see, now everybody accepts it. Just because it's new doesn't mean it's wrong. We need to constantly we can't change anything doctrinal. But when it comes to our methods and our way of outreach, God expects us to use the things that He has given us to be effective. Now, here's the last point, things that can change. I added this point to the sermon because over the years, I have sometimes heard brethren say something like this. They will say, well, that church over there is liberal because they don't meet on Sunday nights. Well, brethren, they might be liberal. I don't know, but it's not because of that. We are obligated to meet on the Lord's Day. How long we meet, what time we meet, and how many times during the day we meet is not a matter of right and wrong. That's a matter of local expediency. And if I start saying, well, that church is wrong because they don't meet a second time on Sunday night, I'm starting to make up rules where God hasn't had rules. In fact, what we've done today, church eat church, I remember not long ago hearing an elder in the church say another church across town was liberal because they do the church eat church. That is, they meet for worship, they eat, and then they have worship again. He said they were liberal. Anything wrong with doing that? Well, it better not be. We're doing it today, right? Nothing wrong with that except a few of you are sleeping. That's the only problem. I'm kidding. But there's nothing wrong with doing that. My point is we need to be careful not to bind where God hasn't bound, and we need to be careful not to loose where God hasn't loosed. Now, brethren, here's the conclusion. This is a quote again from Jeff Walling. Jeff Walling said, "It is an exciting time to be involved in Church of Christ ministry because," he says, "old habits are changing. Old tradition is being questioned. We have the most sacred of cows being trotted through butcher shops all over the country in churches of Christ, where people are willing to ask questions that would have been heresy even to voice before. You know what the sad thing about his statement is? The sad thing is he's right. You see, people are questioning things that are heresy, and they're doing things that are wrong, and they're changing things that fit into category number one. They're changing things that we don't have a right to change. They're changing things that are doctrinal, and they're changing things that are moral. Let me ask this question one more time. Is it true that if we don't change, we will die? First, I don't believe that. I believe the best way for a congregation of the Church of Christ to grow is to be true to the book. We need to preach without apology. In fact, my personal opinion is we need more hellfire brimstone preaching. If we would preach, you know, it's interesting. In the time in which we had the most hellfire brimstone preaching, the Church of Christ was the fastest growing religion in this country. Now, somebody says, well, that was offensive. We don't have it anymore. We're not offending people anymore. And we're also dying in many places. And we're not growing like we once grew. You see, I think that we live in a country that is starved for people to tell the truth. Now, you got to do it kindly. People know the difference. If you will be kind and you will say to a person, this is the truth, and I'm telling you because I love you. You know, if a person walked out in a street and you saw a car coming toward them, would you not yell at that person because you're afraid you're going to offend them? Would you say, excuse me, there's a car about to hit you? Would you say that? Or would you say, get out of the way? You see, when there is an emergency situation, you would be prompt about your behavior. How much more so do we need to be teaching people, if you're not right with God, you're going to lose your soul. And if we will do it in a straightforward but kind way, I'm telling you, we will convert people. We've got to get out of this political correct world that we're living in, both in the political realm and also in the Lord's church, and stop worrying about offending people and how dare we apologize for the Word of God. I hear preachers get up in the pulpit and they will apologize for what the Bible says, and I sit back and think to myself, how dare you do that? You don't have a right to apologize for the Word of God. The Lord said many strong statements, but He said them with love. And if we will do that, we will save souls. Brethren, we would have more conversions, we'd have more restorations, we would have more baptisms. Is it true, if the Church of Christ doesn't change, that we will die? First, I don't believe it. But secondly, even if it were true, we still can't change. Do you think that the day could come that the FCC could come and tell us at the Gospel Broadcasting Network, you can't preach against homosexuality anymore? You think that could happen? Not only do I think it can happen, I think it's going to happen sooner or later. I don't know when it's going to happen, but I expect that it's going to happen. Now, if the day comes or when the day comes, what should we do? Should we stop? You see, the point that I'm making is, even if we're told that we have to change or we're going to be shut down, we can't change. Because when God has mandated certain things, we don't have a right to choose them. Number one, there are things we cannot change. We can't change anything doctrinal. We can't change anything moral. Number two, there are some things that we must change. If we're going to reach the modern world, we need to use the tools that God has put in our hands. And then there are things that we can change. That is, we need to look at things that are matters of opinion and treat them that way and not make laws where God has not made them. I appreciate your kind attention, especially in this hour after lunch. It may be that we have someone here, even this afternoon, who needs to obey the gospel. If you're here and you are not a New Testament Christian, the Bible teaches the way that you become one is by hearing the Word of God, believing it, repenting of your sins, confessing your faith in Christ, and being baptized in water for the remission of your sins. If you're ready to do that today, we are ready to assist you. Maybe you are here and you say, I've never heard anything like that. I would like to study. I want you to show me book, chapter, and verse for that. We would be delighted to do that today. Maybe you are here as a Christian. You've got sin in your life, and you desire the prayers of your brethren. We would be honored to do that as well. This afternoon, if you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, won't you come as together we stand and sing the invitation song.